going to speak about the dream that Yaakov Avinu had on his way to Haran before he left Eretz Yisrael. And this dream is obviously significant because it says that when Yaakov saw this dream, the angels ascending, descending this ladder, so that's when he made the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hakel HaKadosh. The angels made that bracha at that time, and that's the third bracha of Shmona Esrei, which the rabbis instituted, which was first said after this dream. So it's important to know what exactly transpired. What does the dream mean? What are the ideas in the dream? Even though this dream was a prophetic dream, there are all different kinds of dreams, but this was a prophetic dream. God showed Yaakov Avinu things clearly in this dream. Okay, and the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that is clear from the fact that it says the word Vihine all the time. Vihine, Vihine, meaning another revelation, another revelation. Still, you have to understand why God chose to prophesize to Yaakov in a dream and not in the normal way of prophecy. So the Zohar says, since Yaakov Avinu was not married yet, so God preferred to give him a lower level of prophecy, a dream, rather than a higher level of prophecy. Another idea I was thinking of is, since we'll see that this dream was the prophecy of the various Golios, the various kingdoms that we would have to suffer under throughout the Golos in our exile. And that is always compared to night and darkness. Those are the dark night periods of Jewish history. And concerning getting out of Golos, right, when we emerge from Golos, it's Kayinu Kechom, it's like we were dreamers. The whole Golos was like a dream. Right, Shiramalos, Beshuv Hashem Hashiva Sion Ha'inu Kechomin. When God returned our exiles, right, in the future, it was like Chomin, it was like a Chalom, or after the Babylonian exile, after 70 years. Because Golias is not really the real reality of the Jewish people. Our real reality is when we're in Eretz Yisrael and everything is going good and we're God's representatives. It's just that when things are wrong and we need to be atoned, we need an atonement, and we need to be set back on the straight path, then we have to go through all these Golios, through all of these exiles and oppression. So that's not the real reality. It's like a dream. And therefore, the prophecy of this happened through a dream, and you have a similar thing. Avraham Avinu also, when he was shown the four exiles, the four kingdoms that would prevail over us, it was in a dream. God caused a deep sleep to come upon him, and he showed him all of this in a dream. So I think whenever there's a prophecy of the exile and the kingdoms that will be the ones who put us in exile and who rule over us, it always happens in a dream. Another possibility is the Tzeres Sion, says Rav Yadler. Yaakov Avinu was afraid to leave Eretz Yisrael and to go into Chutz Laaretz. And Hashem showed him a ladder where the ladder is on the ground. It's all the way down to the ground. But the ladder is a vehicle to get as high as you can. Which intimated to Yaakov that sometimes when you go down, It's a reason to be able to take all those things and elevate them to God. And therefore, sometimes the lower you are, the more potential you have to elevate everything towards the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you can reach higher levels even in being in a place like Chutz Laaretz than you can in Eretz Yisrael. But that's not the norm. That's the exception to the rule. There are individuals that, in the exception of the rule, can sometimes take advantage of going down for the sake of going up. But normally you want to be on the upside, not going down. So since this was something that was a yotzei min haklal, an exception to the rule, and not the rule, it wasn't said in a regular prophecy, it was said in a dream. Now, what was the dream? What did Yaakov actually see? So the rabbis say that Yaakov saw a ladder of fire that had four rungs, and it was 8,000 parsaos, very tremendously big thing. A parsa is, what's it called, 4 milim. A mil is about 1,000 meters, about a kilometer. So it would come out that 4 kilometers times 8, about 32 kilometers wide. Okay? The sulam, according to some, its bottom, the feet of the ladder, was in Beersheba, where Yaakov had left, and its middle point, it was on a slant, the middle of the slant, it was the middle of the ladder, was in the, passed over the Beis HaMikdash, and the top was in the heavens. According to others, the legs were in the Beis HaMikdash, the place of the Beis HaMikdash, and the middle of its slant was in Beit El. And again, the top was in the heavens. So this is what he saw. And he saw angels coming down the ladder and going up the ladder and coming down the ladder, which is difficult also because the angels start off in the heavens. They should be coming down and then going up. So Rashi says it was two groups of angels. The ones that had been accompanying him in Eretz Yisrael were going up. They wouldn't go with him to Chutz Laretz. And the angels that would accompany him in Chutz Laretz were coming down. So first ones went away, and then the second ones came down. We'll see other ideas in a little while. Now the word sulam is spelled without a vav. Samech lamed mem. If you rearrange the letters, it comes out to be seimel, Ibn Ezra points out, which is a representation. The ladder represented something. Now we're going to see what, according to various opinions, the ladder represented. The first interpretation of this dream that the rabbis say, Medrashim, is that the ladder represented the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is a ladder that connects heaven and earth. And the karbanos that are made in the Beis HaMikdash is that which is on the ground. We do it here physically, but it has tremendous implications and repercussions in the heavens. The malachim who are going up and down the ladder are the Kohanim and Leviim, who are the ones who make these sacrifices, who offer the sacrifices, who are the ones that are in charge of the Beis HaMikdash. And they're going up and down and offering these sacrifices. In that same vein, they point out that sulam in gematria, if you spell it with the vav, is kol, voice, sound, which hints to the fact of tefillah, prayer. Because sacrifices and prayer are the same thing. When there are no sacrifices, prayer takes the place of sacrifice, and prayer also enhances the sacrifices. It's avoda. Avoda is service of God, either through sacrifices or through prayer. And therefore, it says, the malachim, their main place where they function is in the Beis HaMikdash, here in this world, not in the heavens. The main powerhouse of all the worlds was the Beis HaMikdash. And that's where the malachim were on a regular basis. So first the malachim go up, and then they're able to come down again. But they start here. They don't start in the heavens. The abode of angels in the time of the Beis HaMikdash was in the Beis HaMikdash itself. So that's the first, explanation. Second explanation of this dream was that the ladder represented Har Sinai and the future giving of the Torah on Har Sinai. And Har Sinai, God came down from the heavens, and Moshe went up, and there was a meeting of heaven and earth. So it's like a ladder that connected heaven and earth. And the angels of God that were going up and coming down was Moshe and Aaron. Moshe went up, Aaron came down, everybody was on their level before the Torah was given. And in fact, the words, Vehine Sulam Mutzav Arza, has the same gematria, the same numerical value as Zu Torah. This is Torah. So it hints to the giving of the Torah. That was what Yaakov saw, that in the future his children would receive the Torah at Har Sinai. And the third idea is that the word sulam with a vav is in, has the gematria of mammon, money. And the Baal Shem Tov says it represented the idea of money. Money is all the way down on the ground. It's really intrinsically worthless. But if you use it for spiritual things, to do chesed, to do tzedakah, to buy things for mitzvahs, right, then its head is in the heavens. What you can do with money is like a ladder. It's basically intrinsically on the ground, worthless. But if you use it properly, it could bring you to the heavens. And these first three explanations represent the three pillars that the world exists on. And that's also the idea of this ladder. What are the three pillars? Torah, Avoda, and Gemilus Chasod. So the connection to the Beis HaMikdash and to prayer is Avoda. Har Sinai is Torah. And what's it called? Money is Gemilus Chasod. So you have these three pillars, which is represented by this ladder. And that's why on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, after we finish with Nesana Tokef, we say, Utshuva, Usfila, Utsdaka, Ma'aviri, Nesroa Hagzeira. Tshuva, Tvila, and Tzdaka can avert the evil decree. Above those words in your Machzor, and every Machzor is there almost, it says in front of Tshuva, Tzom, fasting, in front of Tvila, Kol, on top of tefillah, call, the word voice, and in front, on top of tzedakah is mammon, money. All of those words have the same numerical value. Call is 136, mammon is 136, and tzom is 136. All of them equal the same numerical value. And that's the same numerical value as sulam, as ladder, because all of these are a ladder to connect heaven and earth. Okay? Now, tzom, even though it's tshuva, but the way to do tshuva is through Torah, right? We say, Ashiveinu avinu l'sorah secha, first return us to your Torah. So tshuva is a representation of Torah. Tfila is avoda. Tzedakah is gemilas chasod. So you have, again, those three pillars. And what's the meaning? Each one of these things is a ladder. If you add them all together, 136 times 3 is 408. 408 is the same numerical value as Zos. Zion is 7, Aleph is 1 is 8, and Tuf is 400. 408. It says on Yom Kippur, Bezos Yavo Aaron el HaKodesh. With Zos does Aaron go into the Kodesh. What's Zos? The combined value of Kol, Tzom, and Mama. That's three ladders, which are the three pillars that the world exists on. So it all fits together. And I saw a cute thing. It says, Ish ba'ar lo yeda. A foolish person doesn't know. Uksil and a fool lo yavin es zos. A ksil doesn't know the zos. So they say what it means is the following. If you take two of these ladders, right, you take tefillah and tzedakah, davening and tzedakah, and add them together. How much is 136 times 2? 272. Right? Right. 272. 272 is the same gematria as bar, a fool, foolish person. Beis, ayin, reish, it's the same thing as reish, ayin, beis, which is 272. A foolish person who thinks you can get away just by davening and giving tzedakah and forget about tshuva, right? Lo yavin es zos. He doesn't understand zos, the full 408, three times 136. So he's a foolish person. If you think you can get away just by giving some money and davening and not doing tshuva, that's not the way to come before the Rabban Shem. You need all three. Tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. All three of them. That's the 408, as opposed to just two of them without the tshuva, the 272. Okay. Okay, another, hint of this dream. So we have three interpretations of the dream that the rabbis give. The latter represents Beis HaMikdash, Avoda, Tvila. It represents Har Sinai, Matan Torah, or represents money, Gemilas Chasson. Next, like we said before, there are those that say that the meaning of the dream was that it represented the four Golios, the four, that's why it had four rungs, the ladder, four different exiles, or four different kingdoms that would rule over us during our exile. And it says that Yaakov saw the Tsar, the angel of Bavel, ascending 70 measures up, and then he fell. And then he saw the Tsar of Paras go up his amount. And finally he saw the angel of Edom, of Esau, which is Rome, ascending, and he didn't see him coming down. And he said, maybe he'll never come down. Maybe we're going to be in exile forever. And God said, don't worry. Just like the other ones went up and came down, he'll come down too. So, and it's the words, Vehine Sulam, also equal Haketz, the final deadline when Mashiach will come. So Yaakov was shown the whole idea of Golios, of exiles and kingdoms or whatever in this dream before he went to start Klal Yisrael with having the 12 Shvatim by Laban and getting married. He saw already a preview of what was going to be the dark side of Jewish history. In addition, others say that the whole dream, the whole idea of the ladder, represented God's hashgacha, his divine providence in this world. How everything in this world is orchestrated and controlled from heaven through angels, right? And the word sulam has the same gematria as zeh kiseh hakavod. This is God's throne. God's throne represents his control, his divine providence, where the king sits on his throne and he orchestrates and directs everything in his kingdom. So too, God is orchestrating everything, and he does it through angels. There are two angels. It says there had to be four angels going up these and down this ladder at the same time. And because of that, the ladder was as wide, as we said, because angels are very wide. And all of this is figuratively speaking. It's not literal. And every person has two angels that accompany him in the day, and two other angels that accompany him at night. Four angels total. Okay? And the whole Bria, the Rambam says, is connected one to the other. Everything, in fact, everything is considered like an angel of God. Everything does God's will, so every part of nature is like an angel. And therefore, we say that, Osem Malach of Ruchos, the winds are like God's angel just means a shliach, an agent. Every physical thing, every spiritual thing is an agent of God that he uses to do his will in this world. So we see that everything is connected. All of creation is connected together, and it all unites under God's control. So even though it appears like there's cause and effect and things happening in here by themselves, not true. Everything is being directed and guided by God, who's at the top of the ladder, and like a ladder. Everything then emanates from God, right, and is either coming up from us, because what we do is very significant in that whole system. What God does, what he sends down the ladder, the angels that are sent down the ladder, really depend first on what man does here. So the angels first go up, then they go down. We daven, it creates angels that go up the ladder. We do mitzvahs, creates angels. We give tzedakah, creates angels. Everything a person does in this world creates the energy source for God then to send the angels back and to bring the world and do in the world what's supposed to be done. Meaning that we say that in davening every day, Tenu oz l'Elokim, give strength to God. I mean, och and vey, if we have to give God strength. But the idea is that God created the world in such a way that he wants to shower us with goodness, right? And everything good he wants to give us. But he made it dependent on us deserving it. So he gave us Torah and mitzvahs and all various things to do that we give the energy source for all of that good to come into the world. For all that good to come into the world. And therefore, we are the ones, kibiyachol, who give God strength to do what he wants to do. In fact, it says that God davens. So the Rashba says, who does he daven to? He says, he davens to us, and he says, please do what I told you to do, so I'll be able to do what I want to do. Because I tied my hands. And my will is that I should only give you what you deserve. So deserve it. And therefore, it's like a big machine, right? That brings plenty and influence into the world. But to turn on that machine and to fuel it, you need Torah, mitzvahs, things that we do here. So what man does here affects what God then sends back into the world. So the angels go up the ladder and then come down the ladder. It reflects. So it says God is like our shadow. The way we move, that's how God moves. Just the way a shadow moves when a person moves. And that's why it says, V'hineh Hashem mitzav alav. In the end, God was over the ladder, both as the idea that God is the one who controls everything that's going on that ladder, but also it says, Nitzav Alav, God was over Yaakov. It says that God exists on the tzaddikim. They're the ones who are like the wheels that bring God's presence into the world, like the chariot. The whole purpose of a tzaddik is to bring God's presence into the world. On the other hand, Rishayim, they stand on their God. Paro dreamt that he was standing on the Nile, which is the god of the Egyptians. So Rishayim stand on their God because the whole purpose of their God is to give them a standing, to give them a place to be able to extend themselves give themselves some kind of a place in this world. Right? So they create gods to make them big. They create gods in their image that will then make them, right, give them a standing in the world. But the purpose of the tzaddik is to give God a standing in the world, to bring godliness into the world. Because God brings that godliness into the world only according to the deeds of human beings. So the tzaddik, his whole purpose is to be a chariot to bring God's presence into the world. That's what it said. The angels went up. They saw that in the heavens, in God's throne, there are four different representations of animals, and one of them is a human being. And the human being representation in God's throne had the face of Yaakov Avinu. He was the major player in this world that brought God's influence from his throne, from his place where he controls and gives divine providence to the world, was through the Jewish people, and Yaakov Avinu was the representation of the Jewish people at the time. And it also comes to teach me that the greatness of Eretz Israel in this whole thing. Because the whole divine providence, the whole God's whole control and influence in the world comes through Eretz Yisrael. Every part of the place in the world is just indirect. But Eretz Yisrael first gets the rain, and whatever's left over goes to the rest of the world. Leftover doesn't mean physically. It could be there's more rain in Chutz Lars than there is in Eretz Yisrael. But the spiritual power to bring rain comes to Eretz Yisrael, and what's left over of that power brings rain to the rest of the world. Everything happens through Eretz Israel. That's why the angels of Eretz Israel couldn't go to Chutz Lartz. So God wanted to impress upon Yaakov that in the scheme of his divine providence and the running of the world, Eretz Israel is very important. That's what the Abarbanel says. Yes?
Did you say Yaakov was the most prominent human being down to the world?
At that point, yeah. Okay. And the last idea of this dream is the dream represents the aspirations of a human being. The ladder represents the fact that a person has to aspire towards greatness, and he has to try to, what's it called, elevate himself. And that's why Yaakov Avinu slept that night. He wanted to see what his dreams were. You can tell a person by his dreams. In fact, even Yaakov Avinu, when he was in Eretz Israel on his way to Lavan after learning for 14 years straight, he dreamt about angels. When he was in Lavan's house already for 14 years, right, he started dreaming about animals, spotted, speckled animals. Shows the difference between what his dreams were when he was on the beginning of his journey, when he was just fresh out of yeshiva, and what his dreams were after working for 14 years. Right? He was dreaming about different things. And therefore, what's it called, the angels are represented here are the powers of a human being, his character traits, his personality traits, his abilities, capabilities, talents. All of those are the angels that either are rising or they are going down. You can't stand still in this world. Either you're going up the ladder or you're going down the ladder. You can't stand still on the ladder. Somebody once told me this world is like an escalator that's going down and you're trying to go up. If you stand still, you go down. If you make some effort, you may stand still. But without any effort, you go down automatically. Let me just finish the idea. And that also shows that when man goes up, the angels go down. The angels' importance compared to man, there's a difference of opinion. Some say that angels are more important than human beings, and some say that human beings are more important than angels. They're both right. An angel intrinsically is greater than a human being, but a human being has the potential to have free choice and to go against his instincts and against his desires. That makes him greater than an angel. So when a human being works on himself uses his free choice in a positive way, he's even greater than an angel. When a human being doesn't do anything, then the angels are greater than him. So as man goes up, the angels go down. As man goes down, the angels go up. So that is the and everybody has their own individual ladder that they have to use to advance in this world, or Rahman al-Islam, to regress, to either progress or to regress. So this is another aspect of Yaakov's dream, his aspirations. When you dream, it's what are you aspiring to? What are you looking forward to? What are you dreaming about? Everybody has dreams. It says that the tzaddikim's dreams are in the heavens, on the earth. Yaakov's ladder was in the heavens and also firmly planted on the earth. And the Rishayim, they dream not in the heaven, not in the earth. Paro dreamt he was standing on the water of the Nile. It wasn't heaven, wasn't earth, it was on the water. Meaning, the dreams of wicked people are wishy-washy. They're not firmly based on anything, and they don't go to the heights of the heavens. A tzaddik dreams, his dreams are in the heavens. He aspires towards the highest thing, but he firmly bases them on the ground so he can reach them. You need a ladder. You can't just wish to reach goals. You have to put a ladder on the ground, firmly plant it, and go step by step. You have to, a person who says, I want to know the whole Torah. Fine, did you ever open a sefer? No, but I really want to know the whole Torah. So today you learn a little bit, tomorrow a little bit. I want to be a big balas midos, right? Did you ever work on your midos? No, but I really want to be. Wishing that's going to help. You don't stand on the ground and say, I'd like to be at the top. You put a ladder on the ground firmly, and one rung at a time, you work towards your goal. You have to have the aspirations in the heaven, but you have the ladder firmly planted on the ground also. Yes?
I just was wondering if this last idea of the ladder signifies. I'm just wondering where
the source is. The Rambam seems to say that in Moreh Nevuchim. The Telzer Rosh Hashiva of the Chaim Mordechai Katz developed this idea also in a certain way. Who else speaks about this? The Chafetz Chaim seems to say a similar idea. Those are the ones who mentioned this idea.